Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Eric Rung, tell us what you think from WGN Radio News. He's been covering the Jason Van Dyke trial. The jury now has it in their hands. What happened today that was noteworthy, Eric?
Well, a lot, actually. The judge in the case decided that they were going to give the jury another option, a lesser severe charge to consider when deliberating this. Instead of just first-degree murder and the 16 counts of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon and official misconduct, they can now also consider second-degree murder. Both sides today tried to argue their points one last time to the jury. The state saying that Laquan McDonald had no chance that night. He was on a collision course with Jason Van Dyke, and they pointed to some evidence that he had told his partner while they were on the way to the call for an officer that needed assistance, that he told his partner after hearing the radio transmission that squad car tire got punctured, that he said, oh my gosh, we're going to have to shoot this guy. And then once they did confront Laquan McDonald, he got out of the car 6 seconds later. He opened fire, shooting him 16 times. Now, defense did their very best to try and humanize Jason Van Dyke. His defense attorney, Daniel Herbert, walked into the audience and even pointed out Jason Van Dyke's wife, who was sitting in the audience in the courtroom here today. He talked a lot about how this decision that they're about ready to make is not going to only impact him, but his family. He then went through the evidence that he says points to Laquan McDonald being a threat that night. He said when he was confronted by the truck driver trying to steal radios, his reaction was to try and stab him. When he was confronted by police while they were following him, he stabbed that police squad car's tire. He said time and time again, that is what Laquan McDonald's reaction was when confronted by police. So it was a very, very interesting closing arguments, both sides really going over the evidence once again. And, of course, the videotape playing a huge role in all of this.
The expectation was, before the trial started, that the defense would, in fact, put Laquan McDonald on trial. And I noticed that at the end, in the closing remarks, Jason Van Dyke's attorney said, do not believe the prosecution's fake tears. These are the people that would put him in a cage otherwise. And I thought, wow, I guess that's how you defend Jason Van Dyke, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And the prosecution in their rebuttal got up and said, Laquan McDonald, there's no question about that, needed to be arrested that night. What he didn't need is to be shot and killed. That's how they rebutted what Daniel Herbert was trying to say there. It was quite a moment in the courtroom today, that's for sure, because they even said from the outset they weren't saying that he shouldn't have been arrested. They were just saying what needed to happen in that situation was Jason Van Dyke needed to follow what his other officers did, which was to take time and to contain him until that taser got there.
Eric Rung from WGN Radio, following the trial all along. Last question for you, Eric. When do you think we get a verdict?
Oh, boy. Man, if I knew the answer to that, I would probably be a rich man. But unfortunately, I do not. I know the jury has already come out a couple of times and asked for clarifications on some of the instructions before they actually even have started deliberations. From also what we're hearing today is that this jury will more than likely be sequestered if they don't reach a verdict today. I talked to one legal expert who told me, he's been around 26 and Cal for decades, and he said he would be shocked if Judge Gahan did not sequester this jury during deliberations, just due to the fact that this is such a high-profile case. They are going to go until about 5 or 6 tonight. That's what we were told by the judge. Unless they are close to reaching a verdict, then they'll continue on until that verdict does come out of the jury room.
All right, Eric, jump in anytime. As always, we appreciate your time and coverage. Thanks for joining us.
You got it, John.
Eric Rung from WGN Radio covering the story. I hope they don't come back with a verdict today. Stacy St. Clair has been reporting on it, too, from the Chicago Tribune. Hi, Stacy. It's John. How are you? No, shoot, I don't think Stacy's on the air. Do you? There she is. Hi, Stacy, you're on now. How are you?
Here I am. How are you?
What stood out to you in the closing arguments today?
You know, I think what stood out to me was, you know, for the defense, you know, all the times that Dan Herbert told the jury, game over, right? He said, Joe Walsh told you there was reasonable, and that was Jason Van Dyke's partner. Joe Walsh told you that there was a reasonable fear for safety that night. Herbert says, game over. And he says, you know, Rudy Barillas, the truck driver, testified that Laquan McDonald tried to stab him, so he posed a threat to public safety. Game over. And he said game over probably at least four or five times. I stopped counting. And then for the prosecution, I think the way they just kept hammering home on the fact that they believe Jason Van Dyke showed complete disregard for the value of Laquan McDonald's life or just disregard for the entire situation in general, and that he had decided. They really honed on those two statements that we found out about earlier this week that Van Dyke said on the way to the scene, you know, why aren't they shooting him? And then later said, you know, oh my God, we're going to have to shoot him. And they're saying, look, he decided before he even got to the scene that he was going to shoot Laquan McDonald. And that's what he did.
Stacey, what was the explanation for that? Did he testify as to why he said that and what he meant when he did?
He said that he just, you know, recognized the urgency of the situation and the threats that could be posed. So, you know, he was arguing that it bolstered his...
I see that.
You know, his position.
Yeah, I mean, right, I realized then that this could be a fatal situation. We're going to have to shoot him, and we did have to shoot him. So maybe put that
right way,
it's not so compromising. I thought it was interesting when the defense said, if Laquan McDonald had done one thing, we wouldn't be here today. And then he held the knife out and dropped it. Was that an effective move, do you think, for the court?
Yeah, and I thought it was a sort of very classic, you know, Dan Herbert move. He's very dramatic. He's a former prosecutor. He's very, you know, passionate when he's speaking. I think another effective move they had is when he stepped into the gallery and pointed out who Jason Van Dyke's wife was to the jury, because the way it's set up, they might not have had a clear view of her during the trial to be able to figure out who she was. She's several rows back every day. So that was a very effective move.
You can do that,
she did not introduce her in the trial.
I guess you can do that.
No, the judge told him to get back. No, you really can't. The judge told him to get back into the well of the courtroom and knock it off. But he got to do it, right? He did it. So what does it matter that the judge told him to stop it? He'd already done it.
The state reminded the jury something that we've asked you about. You do not have to have premeditation to find somebody guilty of murder, right?
Right, of first-degree murder. Because I think we all think of first-degree murder as having some kind of premeditated aspect to it. And that is not the case under Illinois law. What they have to have shown the jury for a first-degree is that when Jason Van Dyke pulled that trigger, he knew or he intended to severely harm or kill Laquan McDonald. And, you know, obviously if you fire a gun at somebody and you are a trained, you know, marksman, you will cause grave bodily injury or you could kill that person. So they meet that hurdle pretty easily, but then there's the whole second hurdle they have to clear, and that's, was it justifiable force? Was it self-defense? Was his, you know, life in danger when he pulled the trigger? So that's like, you know, very easy to clear the first hurdle, not so easy to clear the second hurdle, you know, automatically clear it, I guess, is a better phrase. But what they also did was they're offering the jury second-degree murder, which Jason Van Dyke was not indicted on second-degree murder charges. And what second-degree murder is in Illinois is what most people think of as manslaughter, right? And that verdict would say, yes, Jason Van Dyke knew that when he pulled the trigger, he could seriously injure Laquan McDonald or he could kill him. And yes, we believe he feared for his safety when he did that. But looking at the situation, that fear was unreasonable. And it's called an imperfect self-defense. And so that's what they're going to be arguing, or that's what they're going to be considering. Did Jason Van Dyke really have a reasonable fear for his safety at that time.
Stacey St. Clair from the Chicago Tribune, 630, said, what do you think the odds are of a hung jury? A hung jury means it wasn't unanimous. You need everybody to vote one way or the other for a conviction or for him to go free. If they can't unanimously decide, then it's a hung jury, and then they could try it all over again, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think a hung jury is possible in any trial, but I think it's especially possible in this trial because, I mean, just think of the people you know, right? People come down hard one way or the other that, you know, yes, it was, a tragedy, but Laquan McDonald didn't drop the knife, right? And you should obey police. There's that camp. And then there's a whole other camp that says, you know, hey, he wasn't posing a threat to him. He didn't attack him. You know, there was absolutely no justification. So if you get people who are in those, one of those two camps, you could definitely have a hung jury in this, I think, very easily. Just think of your friends and how they fall on this story and look at that.
Yeah, it's not unanimous among my family, friends, or colleagues here, that's for sure. Stacey St. Clair in the Chicago
Correct.
Tribune. Stacey, thank you for your time today for the entirety of the trial. Perhaps we'll visit again next week, but thanks for joining us today.
Anytime, John.
Oh, and by the way, Stacey, off the air, hold one more second. I've got a question for you. We'll pick it up here next on WGN. Producer Elif, what did Stacey say about the time people spend in jail if convicted second degree versus first degree? What did she say?
If he's convicted with first degree murder, he would get up to the rest of his life. So
first degree, yeah.
In his case, it's up to 85 years. Second degree would be between 4 and 20 years in prison, but it's probationable in some cases.
Yeah.
And aggravated battery in the state of Illinois is the worst sentencing you can get, which is, other than first degree.
Yeah, sure.
Which is 6 to 30 years.
6 to 30 years. Yeah, it's funny because he might dodge that bullet, if you will, on murder, but with 16 counts of aggravated battery, multiply that times...
Pardon the pun.
I know, 6 to 30 years. I thought that just as soon as I said it and thought, well, that might be small consolation to him because what he does not want to do is go to jail one way or the other.